Greetings, Word Horde.
We're here with an exciting option for you, a version of our podcast without any ads.
That's right. No advertising interruptions, just the content you love, ready to go in your favorite podcast apps like Spotify and Apple Podcasts.
It's another way to support the show, ensuring that we keep bringing you the word stories and language explorations that you love. Try it at waywardradio.org/adfree.
And it's affordable. For just a small subscription fee, you can enjoy Away with Words uninterrupted, except by us.
Plus, it makes a great gift. Know somebody who loves language as much as you do? Give them the gift of words.
Easy to sign up, easy to enjoy. It's the same Away with Words, just streamlined for your listening pleasure. Go to waywardradio.org/adfree.
Support us, support the show, and enjoy an ad-free listening experience.
waywardradio.org/adfree. Thank you.
It's another minicast from Away with Words. I'm Martha Barnett. What's the one word that comes to mind when you hear the name J.D. Salinger? Masterpiece? Recluse? How about the F word? I ask because we had a call recently from a listener named Mark. Mark is a journalism teacher in Indianapolis, and recently he'd read an article on a journalism blog called What J.D. Salinger Taught Me About Literary Use of the F Word. That article, in turn, prompted a conversation with a colleague about a couple of linguistic terms describing how the F word is sometimes used. Now, one of those terms is infix. The other is temesis. That's T-M-E-S-I-S, temesis. Both of them are pretty close in meaning. They have to do with splitting a word and sticking in at least one extra syllable. So instead of hi-ho, you say hi-diddly-ho, or fan-freaking-tastic. Of course, you can also insert the F word in there, right? Now, Mark called because he and his colleague wanted to learn more about these linguistic terms and the differences between them. First, we asked Mark what examples he'd heard. Here's what he told us.
One was the British use of bloody, how they might say abso-bloody-lutely.
Right.
Where we might say abso-effin-lutely.
Right.
Another was, oddly enough, a character on The Simpsons, Ned Flanders, will say, like diddly in the middle of a word.
Like, hi, well, diddly ho, or something like that, right?
Yeah, yeah. Things like that.
Okie diddly dokie. So,
yeah, yeah. Those
super
were some,
diddly
but,
duper.
But we didn't really come up with any actual words, just kind of goofy little sounds almost that are used that way.
Well, bloody is a word, but you're right. It's not very American or North American even to do that.
And so your question is what, Mark?
Well, we were kind of debating, actually what is an infix, whether when it's used like that is an infix or a temesis, and then are there other words? So there was kind of a debate whether an infix was actually the word used like that or whether it was like adding an S to like mother-in-law to make it mothers-in-law.
Yeah. There's a the difference between infixing and temesis, and actually there's a third word, diacope, D-I-A-C-O-P-E. It's more old-fashioned. It's a Latin word, and it's more or less the same as temesis. The difference is so varied that I don't think that the experts even agree on it. If you can look in any number of books about linguistics and language and find that they tend to broadly define it so they don't get in trouble by over-defining and being too precise in their definition. Mm-hmm. But generally, infixing is about one word being inserted inside another word. Temesis is often about one word being inserted inside another compound word. So you might say a... What's a great example of that? First effing prize. So first prize is kind of a compound. You insert effing in there, and, you know, that's our euphemism for the F word. And then you've got a really good example of temesis. But again, these definitions tend to be vague. They tend to be defined differently by different authorities. And in general, they're all about inserting some sound, some word or some syllable in a place that it didn't used to go or doesn't ordinarily belong.
I see people do this just for fun, like with edumacation.
There we go. Yeah, that actually.
Yeah.
There are a number of examples of for that exact syllable, the m sound being inserted in other words, and usually to indicate some kind of pretending to be ignorant is how it goes. But the rest of them, it's really interesting. They're mostly about emphasis and mostly very slangy, so bloody and damn and effing or frigging or freaking and so on and so forth. Interestingly enough, infixing is more common in other languages than it is in English. English doesn't use it very much at all.
Did you guys do a show on a whole nother?
Mm-hmm.
Because
yeah.
That was another example I thought of was heard people say a whole nother,
mm-hmm.
and whether
mm-hmm.
whole mm-hmm. stuck in there would be another example of it.
Yeah, there's a sticking point with that is that some authorities believe that another is legitimately a word on its own, and so maybe it isn't actually any kind of infixing or tumesis happening.
Right,
there.
That's a whole nother example.
Yeah, so so it's a dangerous one, but absolutely is a great example of it, or I guarantee you is a great example of it as well. Really interesting stuff. You'll find that it's a great marker of some of the best literature that uses American colloquial speech. If you're reading really good writing and they're doing really good regional accents or regional dialect, then they tend to use this properly because it's characteristic of a register of language that's really it's very informal, but it's about, how shall I put this, constantly exaggerating or understating in order to make an effect. There's a kind of language that we Americans have, in particular Australians have in big doses as well, where we overstate and understate in order to make a point, and infixing goes right along with that.
So, Mark, does that help?
That does.
We're abso...
yeah.
Never mind. We're glad you called.
Thank you very much.
One of my favorite ones is from a 1979 article about the Super Bowl, and it's Alabama. I'm going to Alabama.
It sounds like Phi Slamajama.
Something
like that.
Remember
that basketball team, Phi Slamajama?
Yeah, and there are some that are kind of like on the fence, absopositely.
Oh, I used to say that all the time. I thought I made it up. Oh, I hate when that happens. But hey, I do want to say one more thing about the word tumesis. It comes from a Greek root that means to cut. And in fact, tumesis is an etymological relative of all those otomy suffixes that have to do with cutting, like lobotomy. And it's related to the word anatomy, which comes from Greek words that literally mean all cut up. And here's something really great. You see this same cutting root in the word atom. Now, the prefix there, A, means not, and because the ancient Greeks thought the unit known as an atom was not cuttable, they put those two words together. Atom means not cuttable. Of course, we've since found out, for better or for worse, that the ancient Greeks were wrong about that. Anyway, if you have a question or a comment about language, it'd be fan-freaking-tastic to hear from you. You can email us at words@waywardradio.org or leave us a message on our Anytime Language line. That's 1-877-929-9673. That's all for this week. Thanks for listening. For Away with Words, I'm Martha Barnett. Support for Away with Words is provided by MozyPro Online Backup. MozyPro protects your business's data with simple, secure, and affordable backup solutions. Find out more at mozy.com/words.